I'm sure that at some times in your life you have seen posters. Posters that, when you look at them, don't make any sense. They just seem to be colors. And they tell you, some in the instructions, that maybe there is a flower. That if you look hard enough, you'll see a flower, or you'll see something or other. And sure enough, when you back off and you look at it closely, poof, there's the design. But if you weren't looking for it, the design, you would have never seen it. Over the last few years, what has surprised me the most is that I have come to see that what is about to happen this week and next week is all designed. And I had always been taught that. It's called the plan of our salvation, but I never really paid attention to it. But when I started to think things through, I began to see that there's actually a very well-crafted ambush. There's a conspiracy here that is authored by God. And the conspiracy is to design an ambush that will have certain traps. And please notice the kind of language that I'm using. I'm using almost language that is used by police departments or armies to defeat an enemy. And the more I think about it, the more I understand that that's exactly what's going on. Except that this is God designing this ambush and this conspiracy to infiltrate enemy territory. Now, what do I mean by enemy territory? If you remember, when Satan takes Jesus in the desert, and he takes him to a high mountain. He takes him to the pinnacle of the temple. And he says, let me show you all of the kingdoms of the world, including West Chase, Houston. All of the kingdoms in this world. And he shows them all of them historically at the same time. And then he looks at Jesus and he says, you see all of these? I will give them to you because they are mine. In the understanding of the scriptures, the world, since whatever happened back in history, told in that story of Adam and Eve, which is a story, it's not history, the world is occupied territory. It's occupied. We are living in, we are used to it, so it's not, we don't get, all freaked out over it, because we're used to it. We were born into it. But we're living under foreign occupation in terms of our relationship with God. And so, right from the very beginning in Genesis, you see that God says, I'm not going to let this stand. I am going to be coming to rescue you. And throughout the Old Testament, you hear this promise of this Messiah. And this Messiah is kind of like, it becomes almost like a mythological figure. You know, somebody says it's this and somebody says it's that, and nobody really knows. But there's this kind of a whiff that there's maybe a rescue, but nobody knows when, nobody knows where, or nobody knows how it's going to happen. And then when God decides it's the fullness of time, this covert operation begins. And believe me, it's a covert operation. Because God sends his son as a little baby, something you would never expect. You always put your operator, the person who is infiltrating, as something that the enemy would never expect. And so he puts him in a poor little place. That's not a place that people would expect a Messiah to be born. And notice, I want you to notice throughout all of this, the intelligence that is behind it. Because it's all planned. It's all planned. And so he puts them in this little place with these nice people. And not only that, when even the wise people, the wise men, get a hold of this information and they figure out that something's happening, and they come, when they first go to Herod, Herod is the first one. He's kind of like a lieutenant in the occupying force. And when he hears that there might be an infiltration, he tells the wise men, tell me where you find him so I can go worship him. You can already see that the forces that have occupied the territory of God are looking for him. And what does Herod want to do? He wants to kill him. So this is not a joke. They're waiting. The forces of this world are waiting for the infiltration. And the moment they see it, they're wanting to kill him. And Herod goes so far as to go to where he's supposed to be and to kill all of the kids. Killed hundreds of kids to make sure he was killing the right one. So This is serious stuff. Jesus grows up. I'm not going to go through the whole gospel because you guys already think my homilies are very short. Shouldn't laugh. But Jesus grows up and when it's time, notice he's not activated first. I could almost write a novel about this. He is not activated. He keeps on working at his carpenter shop with his dad. And all of a sudden, he has got to have received orders. Okay, it's time. And so Jesus goes on. And his first thing is to be baptized by John the Baptist. And then he goes to the desert to get further instructions and to realize his mission, that's where he's tempted by the devil. But throughout his life, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but think the little things that he says. Like, for example, do you remember when he goes with Mary to the wedding and they run out of wine? Mary goes up to Jesus. Now, Mary knows something's going on because she got pregnant and she didn't have relations with anybody. So she knows this is something weird. Something's going on here. Okay? And so Mary goes up to Jesus and she says to him, they're out of wine. Now, what is Jesus supposed to say? Okay, you know, I'll help. No. Jesus doesn't want to help. Jesus says, so what's your concern got to do with me? Kind of snippy, okay? And Mary, being a good mama, she blows him off. It's the only person I've ever seen blow Jesus off. Okay? She blows him off. Doesn't even listen to him and says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Didn't even say, please. He just said, do whatever he tells you. And Jesus says something very interesting. He says, it's not yet my hour. Now, just think about that statement. It's not yet my hour. My hour has not come. Jesus knows that there will be a time that he will have to activate the final confrontation. But that final confrontation is going to happen when it is designed to happen. It is not yet his hour. And he does not want to trigger a final confrontation. But he gives in to his mother, and he confuses the heck out of people. But thanks be to God, nobody says, here he is. And then throughout his ministry, he's performing things. But notice how my allergies are in full bloom. Notice how he reacts. Whenever he does a miracle, he tells people, don't tell anybody about it. It's not my hour yet. You remember when he fed the 5,000? Everybody wants to make him king. You know why? Free food. Okay? Free food. And what does Jesus do? He runs away. He's constantly, and if you look through the Gospels, every time he starts getting attention, he runs away. Because he's conscious that it's not yet time to trigger the plan. It's not time. And so he goes away making sure that nothing happens. Then the gospel today. The gospel today fits in right before the plan is to be triggered. And what does Jesus do? Now, think this story through, because it's part of the conspiracy that God's has going. Jesus learns that his best friend is very ill. It's an emergency. And so, now think this through. If your best friend is dying, and you get word, what do? You run to the emergency to be with them. What does Jesus do? Oh, thanks. I think I'll stay a couple of days. I think I'll let him die. What the heck is he doing? And nobody can understand. And then when he arrives back after doing the unthinkable, not running to the best friend's side, Martha comes up to him, and I think she is angry. Because she says to him, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. She is mad. And Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And I can almost see Martha. You know, it's like when you have to go to a funeral and you have to say something nice to the person that's lost someone, and you say something, your brother will rise again, and people always respond, I know. He will rise on the last day. Thank you so much. That's the way Martha's responding. And Jesus looks at her and says, I am the resurrection. You don't get this. The resurrection is not an event that's going to happen someday. The resurrection is when I choose it to happen. Now you talk about arrogant. that moment, and he knew that if he said something like that, and he backed it up, there was no way that the plan could be delayed much longer. So he stands in front of the grave and he says, "Come out, Lazarus." And of course he comes out. Don't you know that that went rushing throughout everybody in that place and everybody was talking about it? The Pharisees and the scribes then begin to hone in on him. They've seen him before doing little miracles, but this is too much. And you can almost see the forces of the occupying force starting to look on him. And he's got to go, and he hides. Then one day, when he chooses it, he goes up to the mountain, he takes Peter, James, and John, and there he shows them who he is. That's called the Transfiguration. And in the Transfiguration, he's trying to get them, get ready, because the plan's about to be triggered. And I don't want you to totally lose faith in me. So he shows them who he is. They still don't get it. But, and they're just confused. And then he goes down the mountain, and he says, "I have to now go to Jerusalem." Okay, it's time. He's gotten the word from the Father. It's time. And I'm going to go there. When I go there, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be tortured and killed. Now, what does the nice person do? A person who's your friend doesn't say, "Oh, good, I'll go with you." No, Peter says what's normal. "Oh, Lord, may that not happen to you." And what does Jesus say? "Get out of my path, you Satan." Why? Because Satan's the one that's trying to make sure that nothing, none of this happens. And so Jesus, now think this through. Jesus goes to the place where he's going to be arrested. Because he's never done that before. He goes there and he says, "I'd like to have a supper with you." What day is it? It's the Sabbath. And it's the Passover. Jesus timed it. He timed it to make sure that he celebrated the Last Supper on the Passover, so you would see the link between the liberation of Israel from slavery and the link of the liberation of humankind from sin and death. He planned it that way. And then they're having the supper. And Jesus knows it's time. This is it. This is why he came into the world. For this confrontation. For this ambush. And he's setting up the ambush. And then he says to Judas, "Go do it." He's even sending the guy who's going to betray him to do it. And then he goes to the place and he knows that Judas knows where he's going to be. And he goes there and he sits there and waits to be arrested. This is a dude that is crazy. He is wacko. What's he doing? And he knows it's about to happen and he is literally needing to change his underwear. Because he is so scared. Do you know he's bleeding in his sweat? And that happens when your blood pressure is so high that your capillaries break. And he's sweating and he's waiting there to get arrested. And sure enough, he gets arrested. And then he allows it to happen. He allows the whole thing to happen. And he stands before Pilate. And Pilate says, "Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you?" Remember Jesus' answer? you would not have the power unless it had been granted to you from above. This whole thing it's a setup. It's a setup. And Satan and the power of Satan's falling right into it. And then he not only that, the people choose to have a criminal crucified, Barabbas instead, and Jesus is then taken to the cross, and he is hung on the cross. And this is where that's interesting. The whole thing's been interesting. I think that inside Jesus, now this is a little bit of science fiction, okay? I think that God the Father set up I don't know what to call it, but it's almost like a container that once it is ruptured, releases an agent that totally deactivates the power of evil. Okay, now that's sci-fi. Okay, that's sci-fi. But when Jesus dies and they think the power of evil thinks they got him, what has happened? They accidentally opened up the container that released the agent that was about to deconstruct and defeat the power of evil. We call it the Holy Spirit. But it's kind of like you shouldn't have opened that package. Okay? You shouldn't have opened that. It's almost like, okay, but this is a negative thing. But to turn it to positive. Imagine inside of him was full of anthrax. But imagine positive anthrax. And when he's opened up, the whole thing goes, and the temple begins to be torn. And then 2 days later, what happens? He rises from the dead. But before that, do you remember what his last words were? What was Jesus' last words? It is finished. What is finished? The day you die, are you going to say, it is finished? Uh-uh. This guy had a mission. And his mission, his covert operation, was fulfilled. And he said, okay, we did it. And he dies. And the whole dad burn thing explodes. And it's called Christianity. That's what it's called. You may not be aware of it, but you have been contaminated in the most positive sense of the word. You have been contaminated by an antidote that is inside your spirit. And inside your spirit, that antidote is working to tear you apart from the power that occupies your body, which is the power of evil. You are infected. You just don't know it. You're infected in a positive way. And so, you know, as we go through this, as we go through this week, it should be amazing. Watch for Jesus, because he's in charge. And he's saying, I'm going to do this. Oh, no, not yet. Not yet. This, now this. And he's in charge. And what we're celebrating is the final week when the plan is put into action. And then on Good Friday, when they kill him, and basically they explode the internal bomb that he's got. And on Easter Sunday, it throughout the world. And it's been infecting humanity ever since that day. Pretty interesting detective story.
God bless.